Thanks for tuning in to episode 52 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We're about to get going with our interview with Scott Bailing, but first a quick message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro is a spot where you can get all that you need for running, shoes, clothes, gear, advice, anything that you need. Austin Jaro opened in 1984, so they got a lot of experience. Check them out, 917 West Central Entrance here in Duluth. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
All right, and we are joined for the interview portion of our podcast now with local runner, I think a name a lot of folks will recognize, Scott Bailing. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for letting me be on here. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, let's get into it. One thing, you know, like I say, a lot of people know your name because you're a guy that's like at the top of the leaderboard on any race, local race.
Oh, geez.
Given the distance, I know, super pressure, right?
Yeah.
And we've said your name a bunch on the podcast, but in our other section where we go through race results, right?
Okay.
A lot of races you've won in the area.
Yeah, went in or second or third, it seems like all the time. So let's go back to, like I say, a lot of people now know your name, but maybe don't know a lot about you and some of your running. Like, where did you grow up? When did you start running? Tell us about the early years.
So, both my parents are from Duluth. They know a lot about the area and whatnot, but they really they weren't athletes per se. Both of them, my dad was into chess and really good at chess. He was into pool.
Oh, nice.
My mom was a downhill skier. But you know, my dad was fought in the Vietnam War and, really didn't get into competitive, you know, sports of any kind.
Okay.
He had flat feet and wasn't the tallest guy. And my mom, you know, growing up back then, there wasn't as much for women's sports and whatnot. So I really can't say, like, other runners, they have this background from their parents, like, you know, how good they can be based off what their parents have done. And I have no clue. My dad, obviously, it's hard to tell. I think he ran in the army a little bit. He was jogging here and there, but, you know, when he was older. So I can't say for certain, like, if he was any good at all.
Right.
I don't think he ever broke 6 minutes in a mile. And he always talked about guys in the army that, you know, broke, you know, this one guy was like a 6'10" miler and they all thought he was really quick. And I'm like, I don't know, Dad, that's not too quick. But
wearing combat boots though.
Probably, you know, smoking a pack of cigarettes and whatnot.
Exactly.
So I don't know. It's hard to say if my parents were great athletes. They might have been like world class athletes. I'm just really behind on the on the genes right there. But no, so I got running. They brought me to the Wednesday night at the races.
Oh,
and
cool.
You know, just a local kids race that around Duluth is pretty well known for, like, grandmas and whatnot. And it was kind of my first thing to do with running, because growing up in Duluth, I was big into hockey, and a lot of kids around here want to play for, you know, East and the Bulldogs and whatnot. So I wanted to be a hockey player, and, you know, running wasn't really a thing I guess I was interested in. And even going through high school, up until like 10th grade or so, I still wanted to be a hockey player. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really, you know, I didn't really look up to runners and think, oh, I want to see how fast I can get, you know. It's not, exactly, you know, a cool thing when you're when you're in high school, you want to be a hockey player,
right,
you know, not a runner.
Right.
And, I wanted to be a hockey player, up until about 10th grade, I would say. I really wasn't exactly built like a hockey player.
Right.
I was a little bit too thin, and, I even asked, you know, when I didn't make the team my 10th grade year, you know, I called the coach and I'm like, what, you know, I thought I was fast enough, you know, and I thought, you know, I had some skill. And
you're surprised a little bit.
Yeah, I was super surprised. But he's like, Scott, you know, because I ran in 9th grade and 10th grade and I did decent for East and I was able to make the varsity team. And you know, the coach is like, why do you still want to be a hockey player? You know, you know, I think you need to gain a little bit of weight to be on the team and stuff. And it was really bummer because I had all this I wanted to be a hockey player. I just didn't want to be, you know, a runner. And 11th grade year came around and I made the JV team, which is
for
East hockey.
Okay.
Which is a pretty big thing, you know. It's not like not
any
varsity,
slouch. Yeah.
But I think it was just because I was trying to work so hard at something. The coaches probably saw that, but they're like, "Oh, we'll just give him let's give him a shot on the team or whatnot."
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that much fun because I'd get up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. and you know, sit on the bench for the games, and you know, I'd have very limp. Maybe if we were ahead by like 4 or 5 goals, I'd get out there and, you know, play, and I'm like, you know, this isn't that great. And I remember my 11th grade year, I was really getting sick of it. I think the gobble gallop was coming around, and I was like, you know, I want to race this, but we had this like holiday tournament, and I decided to skip, you know, the first game of the holiday tournament to, because I was just going to ride the bench anyway, to run the gobble gallop, and came back to practice, and I'm like, Scott, where were you? And I'm like, you know, couldn't lie because I ran the gobble gallop.
Right,
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember what place I got. I don't think I won it. And you know, I believe you know, Randolph's like, you know, we need a little more commitment out of this. And you know, that was last time I was able to suit up, and I was off the team. And I, you know, I just kind like of that. Figured I'm like, you know, maybe running is a better sport for me. So
yeah.
So then yeah, I just focused on running from there on out. But
in what years were these? What, like, what year did you graduate from high school?
2008.
Okay.
So yeah, 2007.
2006, 2007, somewhere.
Was about the last time I played hockey.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
And
was
what year was then the first night of the races? Way back when.
Wednesday night of the races.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. That was when I was, like, 6 years old.
You were a little kid.
And, yeah, and back then, they had these, like, trophies, and I wanted to win as many trophies as I could, and they were, like, Pokemon cards to, like, little kids, you know.
Collect them.
They came in, like, a red color and a green color, and I thought, you know, I want to win as many of these as I could. And my parents, with their limited knowledge of running, they didn't know like what I should do to train for it. So I'd just go out and, you know, run 100 yards and be like, that's pretty good. You know.
Yeah.
But I growing up in the country, I was always pretty active anyway.
Yeah.
My dad was big into gardening and stuff, and so I'd help him out there, and you know, just doing stuff around the country, like biking and you know, rollerblading and whatnot. So
yeah. I had a pretty similar upbringing myself. My parents, nobody in my family, my parents and like none of my uncles, nobody were runners at all, ever. And same thing, we grew up on a farm, and so you're always doing stuff, like say bike riding, you just go and...
Yeah, you're always active.
You're always outside, always doing stuff, nonstop.
I mean, even later on, I've realized that the cross training part of running is probably the most important in any way, because it's, you know, you can stay pretty fit for running just by even when you're not running. So kind of learned that throughout the years.
Time on the legs.
Keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of your parents, I see them at like every single race.
Oh, yeah. They're super supportive.
Always. Yeah. Always. And sometimes I just see them. They'll go out and walks on the lake walk. They'll park down at the Rose Garden. I see them down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They
all the time.
I'm trying to get them to go more and go for those walks. But, but yeah, they, you know, even when it's cold out there, they'll be out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of a hardy thing to do.
Yeah. That's good. They're staying active.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's super important for them to do.
So were you doing other sports in high school, or was it just kind of running on one end and then trying to pursue the hockey avenue as well?
Yeah. So, well, I played soccer, you know, at a young age too. But yeah, it was basically just hockey and try to stay in shape for hockey by running and I guess I had some success, you know, in high school for running. That's why I, you know, kept at it with track and cross country, but I really just wanted to be a hockey player.
Okay.
So
I mean, do you think that you were maybe putting all the attention to running just strictly for hockey, and like maybe you could have applied yourself a little bit more?
Right. I think that's definitely it. I mean, in high school, I don't think coaches necessarily have you do the most miles that you can do to, you know, be the best you can.
Right.
And having such a limited background in running anyway, I didn't really understand what it could be to get to the next level. But at the same time, coaches need to make it fun too. So it's not such a, you know, coach wants me to run, you know, 15 miles today. They'd be dropping left and right out from the team if coaches had them do that all the time. So I think it's a fine line between making it fun and, you know, trying to get kids interested instead of, you know, what's actually the best for, you know, kids.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So was there a time where it kind of switched for you? Like, maybe I should pursue running because, you know, I'm good at it? Or did you find like joy or fun in it maybe after the Gobble Gallop, or what kind of was that change for you?
So I guess doing a lot of these local races, even the NMTC, kind of got me more interested. I would sign up for a, you know, 5K and be like, oh, that's decent, you know. I see if I can do better next week, or I don't know.
It just kind of slowly evolved.
Yeah, it's slowly evolved. I think I had more fun racing the local 5Ks and stuff back then than I do now. I think it's more of getting out and running with a group of guys and hanging out with guys for group runs. I think back then it was more of a competitive thing, like trying to try to win these things or like whatnot. And but now I actually think I enjoy running more, and just the whole training aspect of it. I think actually bigger races now, almost, you know, it's a little more stressful for me. Huge anxiety on some of these compared to I guess before I'd just race, but now when you kind of only do a few, you're kind of thinking about it more. And I think training in general is a lot more fun for me, and just getting out and running with guys.
But from the racing, you mean?
Opposed to racing. And but you definitely you need to race into it, because it's something that keeps you focused on your next thing you want to do. But as of lately, especially with COVID since it started, I definitely have run more trails than I ever did, because I'm like, well, if I get hurt, there's no races anyway.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, it kind of changed. I think COVID changed a lot of perspective with regards to racing / training.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there wasn't a lot of races, and so everybody was just training.
Right.
And yeah, I'm with you about, like, there can be some pressure when you kind of have few races.
Right.
Like on your, say, your personal schedule. Right. Because I like it in one way because you can really focus in on that one particular race.
Right.
The downside is that it's kind of all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And if that day goes bad, that's like 4 months of training, like kind of out the window sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of had that experience even this year. I had big hopes of running the Grandma's Marathon, and mm-hmm. I was like, well, this is my first one, and really, you know, I get tired after running 13, so I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to run twice this distance. Even with running as much as, you know, I have, you know, over the years, still, like, not completely sure how to tackle the 26 miles, you know. It's kind of like a new thing for me, and for a guy who doesn't fuel on runs or mm-hmm. drinks water, you know, it's kind of, you need to do that for a marathon. It's something that's a huge important thing, and so I didn't know how to train for that. I ran 16 miles every day just in singles. Mm-hmm. I thought running in singles was better than the doubles mm-hmm. because you only ran once a day, could mm-hmm. recover for 24 hours,
sure,
and then run. It actually didn't work out that way, because the 16 miles on your body is actually probably way worse for you than the two runs otherwise. And developed a couple injuries and had to call it. But I don't know. It definitely, putting all your eggs in one basket, it's definitely a little more anxiety than just doing a couple warm-up races for your goal race.
Right.
But
just having no expectations, no pressure, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You've got to build up. Yeah, I mean, the training load is one thing, but also just mentally, like, mm-hmm. this is scary, this is long.
Right.
I better be in good shape, you know, months and months.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there can be a little burnout factor when you're not racing and you're just training for 2-3 months solid without even any kind of tester, and it's just more of the same week after week after week after week. And you can get a little mentally just tired of it too.
Oh,
it's like, almost
sure.
like you need a race just to break it up.
For sure.
Sometimes.
It's also pretty hot. I mean, everyone has a sense of where they are, mm-hmm. you know, physically for a race, but it's really hard to replicate it in workouts and see where you're actually at.
Totally. Yeah. Yep.
So I've had some difficulties with, like, gauging what you could even, you know, go out mm-hmm. at a, you know, if you ran a marathon or half or something, what you could even do. Like, well, I don't know, I might go out this fast and it might work out. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really hard to gauge without doing an actual race.
So speaking of races, then, when you go into a race, do you have a plan for a race, or do you just go out and see how it's going to go?
Generally, I go out and see how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I have an idea of based on, you know, some workouts, mm-hmm. but generally it's just by feel.
Yeah.
'Cause even when you're training, I guess at a low intensity, and you still kind of understand how well your body can go into a race, because I mean, it's kind of a low and high ceiling of I guess paces that you can choose from.
Great.
In your workouts. Do you train kind of by feel a little bit? It sounds like you have a pretty good sense of your own body and your own limits on any given day or week or so. Like, you're really in tune with it, it sounds to me like.
Yeah. So being kind of generally a slower, like, twitch speed, I've been mm-hmm. working on that a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of been focusing more on that as of late, mm-hmm. just to at the end of runs just to do stride outs. And I used to not do any of that. I used to just like do these long tempos and think, oh geez, I don't know why I'm not getting any faster, you know, because you can do, you know, 20 minute tempos, you know, all the time, but if you actually never run faster than race pace, if you just keep doing like 15 seconds slower than your race pace all the time, it's hard to run, you know, a faster race than your tempos would be at. So
definitely same pace all the time.
So definitely getting the faster strides and whatnot has helped me as of late. Especially, you know, getting older, I think you lose a little bit of speed. So it's always nice to freshen up with some strides and whatnot.
No, I think that's super good. You always want to stay in touch with that faster pace, that leg turnover. As much pure speed as anybody, any individual has. You don't want to lose that.
Sometimes I forget about that, and then I wait too long to try and run faster than I ever could at a race. And that makes me feel old.
Oh man. Oh yeah.
I'm going out all out.
Yeah.
It's like 5:55.
The effort is the exact same, but the numbers are bigger.
If you race that, if you always, let's say, run at, you know, 5:20 miles, you know, all the time for everything, it's pretty hard to expect to run at 5 minute pace without ever doing it. So you almost have to run at 4:40 stride pace just to be able to, you know, feel like a 5 minutes is easy,
right?
You know,
so that your race pace kind of meets in the middle a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learned that through a lot of the runners from around here. You know?
That's what I was going to ask. How did you learn about training? Did you read books, just talking to people, or how did you just experiment on yourself kind of thing?
So a lot of guys around here that I've looked up throughout the years, I've been able to have a chance of running with and kind of bouncing ideas off here and there. And without ever, you know, knowing how to train necessarily, without having the background of my parents helping out, it's been like the biggest factor about guys that that have are around here that have been fast and have had success and bouncing the ideas off them and just getting runs in, because you can learn a lot on a run with somebody.
Who are some of those guys?
I've run with Jeremy Polson and Grant Johnson, and when in the earlier days I would run with Jaro's group, and I remember wearing like it would be like 10 degrees below zero, and I didn't have like any running gear per se. I'd like wear 3 layers of pajamas and just like a couple sweatshirts and just look scrubby running out there with these older guys that, you know, they looked pretty elite, you know, they had all these, you know, super running tights and it was just something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But learned a lot from those guys. I know my parents would just drop me off at Jaro's house on the weekends, and I'd get a run with them. I was so happy that, they'd let me run with them.
Pretty excited.
They'd usually lose me, throughout the run, but, you know, living in Duluth, you kind of know your way around anyway, so.
Just get back to Jaro's place.
Get back somewhere.
Because there is a lot to know. I mean, from, like, the gear itself, I mean, that's, like, fairly complex if you don't have any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention training. I mean, there's 1,000 different training.
Oh, my gosh. Even the first 5Ks, my mom and dad would drop me off. They'd watch me, and they dropped me off, and I was wearing like these shoes. They were not like running shoes. They were I can't even think of the name of them. They're some Walmart shoes that I think they were athletic shoes, but they were just like boards, and I'd just train in those, it's, you know, just the running gear. I mean, now I'm like, I'll go to races and wear these carbon fiber shoes that are, or they all, they feel like cheating, right. And you know, the tights and the short shorts and shirts and you know, the dry fit and whatnot. So I mean, my running attire has totally changed throughout when I started. You know, I'd make fun of somebody wearing short shorts, you know, when I was a kid, you know, just, just running, even probably throughout high school. Like,
you know, what is wrong with that guy?
Yeah. Why does that guy need to wear such short shorts?
Right. And, well, that's funny because I think, you know, so many high schoolers, junior high kids, right, look up to the hockey, you know,
yeah,
like you mentioned, oh, yeah, hockey player. And like you see a runner, it's like, it looks like a total dweeb.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Oh, I was, tights, yeah, 1,000% thinking that when I'd look at somebody running. And it's,
unless you're already really into it as a, you know, high schooler in track, cross country, and really into the running scene, I mean, who, what, especially like an adolescent boy, you know, who would think that's cool seeing a runner in tights, you know, like that?
I always thought it was funny, like, speaking of kind of like adolescence in high school, like when you're that kid in high school, you're gonna be intimidated physically by somebody who's a little more muscular, like a hockey player or a football player. In the running world, you get to stand on a start line, you're more intimidated by the skinnier people.
Like, the shorter, like, oh, the shorts.
Look how thin he is. That's the guy I'm a little afraid of.
The short, the shorter opposite. The shorts. It's always the
shorter, like, the shorts,
oh, man,
the more serious.
1.5 inch split shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm going to lose.
yeah, for sure. I definitely have felt that when I, you know, started out in like these local 5Ks. You know, because that, you know, not a lot of times in local 5Ks you have a ton of guys in short shorts, but if you saw one, you're like, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That guy is a pro.
That guy is so serious about it. It's funny. Yeah.
You know, and the times would be not great, but, you know, you have no concept of, you know, fast times when you're a kid that has no background or running.
You're right.
You're like, wow. That guy should be in the Olympics.
Just. I used to sometimes, because I was kind of the same way when I got into running. I didn't have the short shorts and any of that fancy stuff. And so during a race, I would sometimes try to pick somebody out. If they were just a little bit ahead of me and they were in short shorts, I'm like, oh, I'm not listening to that guy.
You know? Yeah.
Like that, just little tricks of the mind to try to motivate you a little bit during the race.
Oh, yeah.
So, Scott, when did you, I guess, start feeling like you were having success or... I mean, you've done a lot of races. How did that progression go to mentally, like, I want to do this more, you know?
Oh, I think when I qualified for state in high school, I probably thought, you know, it was such a great feeling because I got to put it on my little emblem, my jacket. Nobody wears those anymore, letter jackets, but you know, it I don't know, it made me feel really proud to be able to, you know, go to state in something, you know, because I mean, even if you were playing hockey, it'd be really tough, and nowadays like, especially in that AA class and whatnot. So
is that for cross country then?
It was cross country and track. Qualifying individually for track was, you know, it was probably more of a accomplishment for me because East High School, we'd normally go to state every year. It was kind of a thing at East. And so it was like, oh, you know, we made it. And qualifying individually was a huge accomplishment for me. And I was like, you know, I want to try to see how good I could get because I'd go there and end up getting last. But I'd be like, you know, maybe I can get second to last next year or something. Or just like try to shoot for a little higher goal. But yeah, it was.
What distance was that in, sir?
It was. So my first year I made it was 10th grade and I was the 3200. And that year. Garrett Cora actually won the 100 meter dash for our school, And I was like, wow, that's really quick. I'm like, I wanted to like improve from my, it didn't sound so good when I got 15th place and my, you know, he got first place. Yeah. I'm like, but I wanted to improve from that. But I mean, the following 2 years were just as bad. It was probably my best year was my 10th grade year. Huh. And, from then on, I made it 11th and 12th, but they're both, not good showings, but yeah, was, that's when I kind of figured, you know, I want to try to go on to college and, you know, run competitively. And so, yeah, it's kind of when I started really focusing on it and trying to see what the better runners that were beating me were doing and whatnot.
Who were some of your high school teammates? Was Grant one of your teammates?
So, Grant was before me. Funny enough, he was actually my assistant coach that year, because we actually ran into him in Bagley Nature Center during a summer run, and we were we all knew who Grant was because he was a super fast runner. Yeah. And he ran for Iona, or had some knee surgeries at Iona, but he was a super talented runner, and
like a footlocker.
I mean, it's just amazing athlete. And so we met him in Bagley during a summer run, and we're like, oh, Grant. He didn't know any of us. We were just dorky kids in, like, white T-shirts and long basketball shorts, but he had, you know, his elite stuff on. And he's like, hey, guy. He's super, super nice guy, probably the nicest guy I've met running so far. And and we asked if, you know, he could help out at our cross country, you know, on the cross country team. And he was my assistant coach, I think 11th and 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And, ever since then, you know, I've, you know, been able to run with him every time he's into town and whatnot. But he's been a super, you know, it was super cool to have him, help out on the team and whatnot. But yeah, Grant Johnson.
yeah, big influence.
Yeah, you. Big influence for me. That's for awesome. Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What about after high school? What I guess was the path for you to keep pursuing running? What did you have in mind? And what actually happened?
I wanted to stick close to town for college. I just liked the Duluth area and save money just by living at your parents' house. Yeah. And whatnot. So, I thought about going. I never, my times in high school were not fast enough to go on to like a Division I school. And, so I thought, well, Division II and Division III are essentially, you know, the same boat. And, it was, more fun to run with a smaller team at UWS. East had a pretty decent team, or pretty decent size team, but I kind of wanted a smaller team than that. And I felt like having more of an individual, like I felt like the coach there could help me more in getting more into running, as opposed to being on a bigger team, and there wasn't as many athletes for, or there was too many athletes for the coach to focus on just like one person. I felt like that was a good fit, and you know, it was super helpful. Even when Nishis left, Glenn took over, but it was still like having that smaller school, I was able to, you know, ask questions and get more personalized help than I probably would have at like a bigger school. And I definitely just wanted to pursue trying to get better as a runner even in college. So
did you have any events or specific races in college that are especially memorable?
I did the 5K a lot of times. For the longest time, I thought I was a miler. I wasn't a miler, but it was a shorter event. So you want to think you're better at something shorter. Like if I was if I was even remotely close to 100 meter dash, I probably would have stuck with that. But I stuck with the 1500 way too long. My very last year I did the 5k,
yeah,
and it turned out I was way better at the 5k than the 1500. And I kind of wish throughout the whole entire college career I would have just stuck with the 5k.
Yeah,
but yeah, I ran this 10k once, just probably the worst event ever in college. It feels like forever.
Just
especially with like at the time there was like these Nike Victory spikes and they're like just super thin spikes, and now I think they got a little more cushion ones, but they were, my feet hurt, my everything hurt. Like it took like the same amount of time to recover from the 10k than it did like a half marathon or something. But yeah, I ran 10k once, wasn't that great, but I ran the 5k I think twice or three times. I ran the same exact time every single single time I ran it. It was the most frustrating thing I've like experienced.
Just consistency though.
Yeah, like bad. Each time I thought I was going harder, and I got done, I'm like, wow, it was the same second. I don't know how that works though.
Three times.
Yeah,
same second.
Same that's second.
Crazy.
Wow,
that's crazy.
1438 blah blah, 1438 higher end, 1438 middle. It's just
wow.
And even during COVID, it was like a January day, I got in super there was no, I mean, I think this was January 2021, all the races were canceled. My buddy Tom Sutterquist, we were doing a lot of workouts in December for some reason. We thought we'd try to do a time trial, grandma's marathon course. We were both feeling ready. I got out, felt super good. I was looking at, we had the distance for the 5k. I thought I'm gonna finally beat that college time of mine. Yeah. Ran the same second.
What?
Fourth time I ran 1438. Wow. I could not believe, like,
what did you know coming in, like, to the last stretch that you were gonna be close?
I looked at it, I thought, oh, this is gonna really hurt, but I have to break that time.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
Just 1438. It's just
4:14:38.
It was on the road, so it's not necessarily like
right,
compatible. A track time, and it's
true.
Not like I guess regulation thing, but yeah. We thought, well, we'll just keep it at 3.10 instead of
then you can stop.
Then I can stop, right, and, okay. You know. But yeah, just crazy.
Wow. funny. So then after college, and I guess you're running now, I mean, what has been your goal or aim? I mean, you mentioned getting in the marathon. Has that been more just like longer distances, or are you just trying to see success with whatever you do? Or
so, yeah, a lot of the so Tom and some of my other buddies, we always have this like idea of running, you know, at the trials, but they keep lowering the time. It seems like every single year it might be like 2:12 pretty soon. So that's always been kind of a goal. It's not like it's a really far off goal, because none of my times are even remotely, I guess, close to running that. But having guys that have done it, like Matt Welch recently did that for the 2020 marathon. That's kind of been like a inspiration to like actually go after it. And you know, my my buddy Tom kind of has the same goals, and so it's kind of cool to have somebody have a similar goal to do it.
And you guys can work together.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I can keep getting faster, hopefully, for a while. I don't feel like I've necessarily slowed down any, but I think just running and not getting slow for as long as I can would be the ultimate goal. But,
I think just running your college 5K PR time in December just a couple of years ago is definitely an indication you still have the speed.
That was like really exciting to
How old are you now?
I'm 32 now.
32. So not a lot of 32-year-olds run their college 5K times.
Yeah.
Especially if they were a collegiate runner.
Right. You know? Yeah. So
that's good.
Good. I mean, I was always kind of a late bloomer anyway, so I'm hoping that maybe I remember there's this guy, Eric. He lived in Fargo. He ran the trials, I think, until he was like 40. 41 years old.
Okay.
That's kind of been a huge like inspiration for me to like keep going. I'm like, maybe, you know, one of these years something's gonna break through and just like keep going. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But like I don't know. In high school I couldn't even like grow any facial hair, so it was kind of like I had never really developed until like later on anyway.
Well, I was thinking that like you're talking about kind of your running career, like high school definitely didn't reach your potential because you were split between hockey and running and really weren't focused yet. You still made state three times, three different years.
So
there's a lot of talent there. College, kind of the same thing. You were focused on the 15 15 15 15, and it turns out your strength is more endurance,
right?
And so didn't hit your potential there. And when I say don't hit your potential, I don't mean it to be insulting at all. It's like almost a good thing now.
Yeah,
like it's paying off dividends 10 years later.
For sure. And not having, not knowing like what my parents were actually, if they were, what their potential was, it's kind of nice in a way because I never have to compare myself to what they, you know, when did they stop running or they get worse or
like blank slate almost.
Because one of my buddies is always like, well, my parents kind of started slowing down at this age, and I'm kind of worried about that myself. And they're like, well, my dad ran this at like so-and-so time, and I'm like, I'm kind of at that right now. So it's not knowing that's almost better.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I keep like developing more connections with people that, you know, have experience running these certain times I'm after, and like just talking with them, I feel like I'm just learning more and more about how to get there. So it's been kind of nice because even through college, I guess, like I you know, the coaches have helped, the runners have helped, but like I feel like there was always so much more to learn about an actual distance runner or what they're supposed to do to to run, you know, faster times. And I don't know.
What do you think, Scott, for you, what do you think it takes to get to that Olympic qualifying time?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. I think just running a lot more. I think I've always been scared of running too much or not running enough. It's like a fine line between your body just breaking down and you're not getting the right recovery, and or just like not being in shape. And
I call that a fringery. You want to be on the fringe of injury.
It's
that's the optimal.
I think that's true. It is. It also is tough, just living in Duluth and having the winters. Mm-hmm. You almost need to hop on the treadmill most days because it's it's like, if you want to do a double, let's say, you can run at the nice time during the day, but towards the end of the evening, it's going to dip down to like negative 15 degrees, negative 20. It's like, I don't know. And it's not much fun.
And footing is an issue. And if you're trying to run fast for like a certain workout or just a tempo kind of pace effort on the roads in the wintertime, it's so difficult.
It's very difficult.
Footing. So treadmill is kind of the way to go.
Yeah.
Either that or move to Flagstaff for the winter.
That's definitely an issue.
So kind of the mileage, the volume has been maybe a focus to
The improve? Mileage and volume has definitely been a focus. I think being pretty low mileage throughout most of my years is kind of a double-edged sword because I'm not...
Right.
On the one end, I don't have that many miles on my legs, but on the other end, it would be nice to have that build up and, you know, work, you know, towards something longer distance.
Yeah. But,
so the last two or three summers of maybe peak training, what would you say your weekly mileage has been at?
So during COVID, I was probably 60 miles because there was no races or whatnot, and training for the marathon this spring I was at about 100 miles. I think I went there too quick, burnt out, legs just like fell apart. But I also think a lot of that has to do with strength training, where I think it's super important to actually get, you know, you work on your arms, your core, and whatnot. Because during the winter, I would be shoveling the driveway and whatnot, and just those little, you know, it wasn't like super long, but just like being having that base of like shoveling the driveway, and then when I jumped into training, I was like, well, you know, I'm pretty fit, you know, I'm like running,
feel
I'm
strong.
Able to, to like run these miles, and then you don't shovel for a while and you just start to lose it. And it's so weird how running, makes it all, I've like lost so much muscle in like my glutes and whatnot just because I stopped shoveling. It's just like, you would think like the more you run, the stronger your glutes get, but it just never works out. You just start losing muscle where you need it and, and whatnot. So.
Yeah. So that's the strength routine, shovel the driveway.
Shovel the driveway, just shovel rocks, I guess, during the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So. Dig holes. Dig holes, fill them up, dig another one.
I was always thinking of making like a new workout machine that you could just shovel and...
Have you heard the Dick Beardsley story of the winter time?
I read one of his parts of his book when I was like in high school or something, and I didn't really read the whole thing because it's a pretty long book, but it was like he shoveled part of his farm, and he would shovel in, and then after the piles, then he'd put those piles into more piles and stuff. And I always thought about that in back of my head. I'm like, this is like the key to running is shoveling. So
it worked well for him.
This isn't just like your thing that you noticed. This is like an actual thing.
Dick Beardsley, he was injured one winter and he was shoveling a lot because he lived on a dairy farm. He had a dairy farm. And he structured a week of shoveling the way he would a week of running. So he had like Monday, Wednesday, Friday was like easy shoveling day. And Tuesday, Thursdays were kind of like fartlek workout shovels. And he'd shovel hard and then recover shovel and then shovel hard and recover shovel. And he had to do it behind the barn because the neighbors thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
He would just shovel paths in his pasture.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Weird.
It's crazy. I actually kind of, that was the one thing. I wish I'd actually read more books about runners. because that was the one thing that stuck with me.
Because
every time I shovel, I'm like, Dick Beardsley did this, mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is what it takes.
Totally. Well, in a way, it is because he was so dedicated. The guy was like an incredibly dedicated person.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he would sit watching TV and he would just take his fists and just punch his thighs, his quads, getting ready for Boston because of the downhills. While watching TV, he'd just be doing this.
Oh, so not like quads, a massage gun, just
toughen him up.
Okay.
Like for like hours or whatever.
Hours.
The whole time.
Wow.
Toughen up his legs. That kind of like obsession / dedication is what Beardsley had for sure. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're constantly thinking of running, constantly. Everything is always about his running. Yeah.
What other injury prevention tactics have you implemented over the years? What's worked well for you to stay healthy, keep the mileage up?
So as of recently, I've been looking into the TB12 method.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've kind of peeked at that. It's a fascinating... Tom Brady.
Oh.
Tom Brady's TB12. Training method with his coach. I forget his coach's name, but yeah.
Yeah, Alex something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, yep.
So in the book, there's a lot of stuff, kind of useless stuff about his products and whatnot. But there is some good stuff in there, and just the pliability stuff has really interested me over the past couple of years. Just about how, you know, I mean, he's playing football at, you know, 45 years old and able to still, you know, throw and run, you know, just as good as he was before. And that kind of caught my interest. Funny story, we actually went, last year we had a group of guys, we got a team of five, and we ran the club nationals for cross country.
Oh yeah, cool.
Went down to Tallahassee. The next day, Tom was playing in Tampa. We went down to Tampa. We got some tickets, and we saw him, you know, throw his two records as 700 touchdown and 7,000 passing, I think, yards. But that was really cool. We got that team going actually at the last second, and it was, I think we were the only Minnesota team out there. But it just reminded me of Tom Brady. But it was so cool to watch him play down there when we were at Club Nats. And I've really like taken that. I've got the pliability stuff using the foam rollers and the massage guns, and like actually did some stretching, because in high school I literally didn't stretch at all. Even in college, I thought it was funny because Matt Kramer, he would always like be proud of I guess not stretching, and like not, I'm like, that's kind of cool. I mean let's not stretch and be fast. Right. So now my thinking is totally different. Now I'm like kind of stretching, doing these little things to actually, you know, possibly prevent injuries and make myself more, I guess, flexible or and whatnot. And I think that's helped a little bit. Definitely maybe has made me get faster over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
As well.
It sounds to me like it is. I really like that system, that pliability, the word that they use a lot that you mentioned. I think there's something to that. I think there's some definite ideas that are applicable to runners in that TB12 training.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Interesting.
It's really cool. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And then power and explosion, I think they talk a little bit about that.
He also talks about how, you know, when we're young, we have this, you know, we're as pliable as we ever will be, but when we get older, we slow, you know, it's not, we slowly like lose that pliability, and it's actually pretty easy to get back.
Yes.
Once we You know, it takes great. Like, you know, it might take like a month or so, but it's actually easy to get back. And he talks about how a lot of the guys in the NFL retire because they just think, well, I can't do this anymore.
Done.
You know, I'm not as good as I was because, you know, I just, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the actual pliability and actually getting that back to where you were, you know, before, because you slowly lose it throughout the years.
Right.
But that's exactly it. That's why a lot of like the masters and grandmasters runners, as they get slower and slower. If you were to watch video of them when they're say in their 20s versus when they're in their 60s, their stride length is just a lot shorter.
Oh yeah.
They're just not covering as much ground anymore because they don't have the pliability.
Yeah.
They might have the exact same cadence. It still might be like a 175, 180, whatever cadence. And you think, well, how? And they're running just as hard. We've talked about, you know, your effort is the exact same. You keep pushing and pushing and pushing, but your times are slower. Or you're simply not covering as much ground anymore.
Oh yeah. I mean, even if you look at like Eliud Kipchoge, it looks like, you know, it's, you know, like he never lost anything.
But then
you look at, I don't know, these. It's totally different when you look at some of these guys, and it looks like they're. They're forcing something and it's not there. I mean, it's all the pliability thing and not
you said,
being
you
able
get
to
that,
move as
like any older
motion.
Runner can get that back. You practice it a little bit. You do some stretching.
Right.
You do some sort of routine to kind of gain flexibility and pliability. Pliability is a great word for it, I think, too, because flexibility you can kind of get almost a little too loosey goosey.
Right.
And I think that's.
And I think you need a little bit of like stiffness to
you.
You do
need a little bit. Exactly. So pliability is a better term, I think, rather than flexibility. But yeah, you can get that back with a little practice. Both the strides that you mentioned that you do a lot of, I think that's hugely beneficial, especially as we get older as runners. You got to keep up doing that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he talks about what nutrition and whatnot. I've definitely been focusing a little bit.
I think, toward, right?
Yeah. Working towards that as well.
Yeah, but, cool. That's awesome.
But, yeah.
So that's like a big goal there. Maybe an OT qualifier.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
anything else?
Sure.
Kind of in the immediate, say the rest of 2023.
I'm sure we're gonna be going back to Club Nats again.
Cool.
That's kind of a fun thing. And Tom Brady plays at that Club Nats is at San Francisco this year, and he plays the next day, which is kind of crazy.
That's
cool. It's like he's following us around.
Right.
So we have to go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, besides, I guess, the real distant goal of that trials qualifier, I don't know myself if it's even possible, but it's something that I'd like to work at, you know, because you need big goals.
Absolutely.
Even if they're not necessarily attainable, it's just like nice to work towards something.
I agree with that 100%.
But besides that, I think it would be fun eventually to get into trails. It's always been something that... I think it's more, it's unique because trails are like super challenging. Like you have to, it's a real different like form of running because you almost have to navigate through the rocks and the, and whatnot. And I always thought that was kind of fun. When COVID hit, I was always trying to get these segments on trails. It was like a borderline, it was kind of, I'm always into like extreme like snowmobiling and dirt biking and whatnot. So it's kind of like you were, you know, the machine and you're navigating through these like rocks and stumps and stuff, and the adrenaline of almost hurting yourself and falling down it's an adrenaline rush. You don't really get that when you're running along the road, you know. You could fall down a a manhole cover or something, right, but that's right. About as extreme as it gets. And I don't know, I kind of like that adrenaline rush of almost twisting your ankle.
I could see Scott doing the Voyager here in the next couple of years, probably.
Oh, yeah, that's I don't even know, that's 50K, right?
50 miles.
Wow. 50 miles. Oh, that's yeah. longer than... Yeah. 32 or whatever that yep. is for K's.
Right.
But yeah, that goes from Carlton to
the zoo and then back okay. to Carlton, yeah. But yeah. it's a lot of road. It's a decent amount of road. It's not like 30 miles of road, but there's a decent amount of skyline on there and okay. kind of runnable ski trails plus single track. So it has a nice mix. So
yeah, yeah. I think Justin Grunewald used to be a pretty big road guy, and now he's kind of into trails too. I think he's in yeah. Colorado or something. I thought he did the Voyager this year.
He did the Wild Duluth a couple of years ago.
Is that what
yeah,
it was?
In October. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah he's pretty quick on those trails too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know, that'd be kind of fun later on to get into trails. It's a definitely different type of running, and it kind of keeps stuff fresh.
Totally. Yeah,
definitely. Because I mean, even training for races around here, I can't think of how many times I've run on Lake Walk and been sick of actually I know like every single part of the Lake Walk,
yeah,
and especially right. when you've lived here your whole life, you're yeah. like you know, you hate when people suggest the Lake Walk when you want to run.
Right,
you're like I kind of want to run somewhere else, but yeah, for sure the trails have been nice to switch it up. Even using elliptical or whatnot, even a treadmill is different. You get to watch right. a show, but
yeah,
but yeah, just running on the Lake Walk, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful place, but
yeah,
at
it's
the
a
same
great
time
spot, but yeah, you're right. When you only have like this one spot
over
that's kind of consistent
over.
That you know you yeah. can count on, and that's where you end up going, it starts to get a little
yeah
old.
The funny thing is Boniface actually trained for the Grandmas just running on the Lake Walk, which is kind of crazy to think about. That's all he wanted to run on.
Yeah.
I saw him a few times when he was training for Grandma's. Haven't seen him since, I guess, run down there. I think he's a Duluth resident now. Or,
he is. He lives in town. Yeah, he goes to school.
Cool.
He doesn't run a ton anymore.
Yeah.
Runs a little bit, but he's going to school and he works. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to him yesterday.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, I ran with him a couple times. He's a pretty cool guy.
Super good guy. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What about bucket list races? Are there any races out there that you just gotta do at least one time before you hang it up?
I mean, Grandma's, but
Grandma's marathon, yeah.
Be, like, nice to like show up to the start line. I don't know. It would be like super fun, even though I'm scared to even run 26. But like, do one of those like Death Valley like type of 100 and some miles. I just think it like would be just fun just to torture yourself going through there.
Yeah.
Even though I absolutely hate like running in hot weather of any type, it just intrigues me.
Yeah, the Badwater. The Badwater 135.
I mean there's something about the long 100-mile races that is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It's just like going out there as long as you can.
There's a curiosity to it. Like, what does it feel like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pain of running, you know, when you get to like mile 70, how bad does that hurt?
Right. Exactly.
Probably pretty bad.
Yeah. Generally, you can expect on it being pretty bad.
Yeah.
I always joke like a 100-mile or a long race ultra marathon is kind of like the pain of a 5K. It's the same amount of pain, but it's just spread out. You know,
yeah,
so it's not like that intensity.
Yeah.
You never have that intensity of pain.
Yeah.
It's just like over however many hours later, it's just like this dull dread, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ugh.
I've definitely had like long runs throughout my career that like have felt like, wow, this is so bad. And you know, and that's only like 17-18 miles, you know. It's
Well, to do the 135, you definitely have to start eating food during your runs.
Eating like a whole.
Yeah, fueling during a run, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions or topics?
I don't think so. Yeah. Covered everything that I had. You had anything, Scott, that you wanted to? No.
I haven't really got anything.
What kind of a 5K shape are you in right now?
Pretty bad. I took 18. So I usually like to take time off throughout the year.
Yeah.
When there's nothing going on, just because I feel like it's almost nice to have a fresh start mm-hmm. of fitness, and you can kind of it kind of gets dull after a while if you just keep running yeah. throughout the whole entire year without yeah. having any sort of break in there. So I took 18 days off of completely like nothing, wow. not even like
shoveling,
not even shoveling.
Wow,
so pretty impressive. But yeah, I you kind of get a whole new appreciation for, you know, something that you do every day, and then you have to start back. You know, you don't do yeah. it for a while, you kind of miss it. I always
Big
think,
time. Yeah, totally.
I always think when I'm running, I'm like, well, this, you kind of take it for granted. You're like, well, it's whatever. But if you take time off mm-hmm. and you don't do it for a while, you're like, this is like a huge part of like what I'm doing. And yeah. you know, like, it's definitely, it's probably the only activity that you can do that you don't need to do. You don't need like a ball or any, you can just go yeah. out the door without
right.
needing to do anything. I mean, you need a tennis court to play tennis. Mm-hmm. You need,
not to mention people.
Right? Oh, it's true. I mean, yeah. I mean, unless you have like a tennis court that folds up into one side, right. like a ping pong table. Right. But yeah, I don't know. It's just something that's super accessible to most people.
Yeah,
and it's something that you can do way longer than a lot of sports. So it's like, I mean, if you're, you know, 70 years old and you're trying to play soccer with people, you know, it's dangerous at that point
right,
in your
right.
career. It's just, it's not many other 70-year-olds that probably want to play soccer with you.
Right.
Just, you know.
So then you're yeah. playing with like 25-year-olds.
And yeah.
And pull a hamstring in no
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then the pushing and stuff. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more dangerous at that point. But yeah, running has just been super accessible and whatnot. So yeah, I took a lot of time off, and I'm probably in pretty bad shape right now, but it's all right.
Cool. Well, best of luck to you once you do kind of really get fired up again and get the training rolling, and maybe some fall races or something coming up, and of course Club Nats in, what is that, December?
Yep, December 11th, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Yep.
That'll be
cool.
Who on your team, and what's the name of your team?
That's going down? Lake Effect running. Yeah, we actually threw that team together super fast because we wanted to do Club Nats last year, and we had just the right amount of guys last year. It was about 80 degrees in Florida last year, 85. Wow, yeah. With Florida, it was like 100% humidity.
Yeah.
But
have fun with that.
Yeah. So we are coming from, I think last year, the Gobble Gallop was like, it was super cold. I think it was like 9-8 degrees or okay. something, and then the next week raced in Florida, 80 degrees
nice.
And 100% humidity. It's just a totally different. It's totally different than right now. You know, yeah. right now it's like 60 or 70 degrees, but
yeah.
if it was 80 degrees tomorrow, it'd be like, well, it's pretty hot. But if you come from like 8 degrees
yeah.
and then you go to 80 degrees, it's yeah. like the world just is on fire.
Right.
Why aren't the trees like burning up right now?
Yeah.
It's just especially with the humidity.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, we we went down on Spirit, which is cheap airlines, but we made the whole thing as cheap as we could. Just took one backpack each, literally no carry-ons, no extra money for that. We slept in the same room for the hotel. Sometimes it was a one bed or like a master bed with five guys, and we'd like squish the beds together and make them bigger. But yeah, a couple of the guys I actually didn't even know, and we got to get to know each other over the past you know, few days we were there. So it was a good time.
Cool. Nice. Same guys going down to San Francisco?
Possibly.
Yeah.
We might get a couple more. We're I think we might have the same guys, a group of guys, which is good. And hopefully we get a girls team someday.
Nice.
As of now, it's just getting a group of guys to go down to Club Nats is pretty big, because it's a big commitment to go to like these faraway places to race. So
cool. Yeah, well, best of luck with the rest of that.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Club Nats and the rest of the season.
Yeah,
we'll probably see you out there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and that wraps up episode number 52 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I want to thank our guest, Scott Bailing, for joining us. Really great conversation with Scott. Really interesting story, and I can guess his next 5K time, I think, probably pretty accurately, as long as he's in top shape. That's a crazy story. I've never heard anything
funny
quite like that before.
Yeah.
Thanks to our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Continues to support the local running scene for, I don't know, the past however 30 some years now.
Yeah.
So big shout out to those guys, and thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in and letting us know that you do hear us from time to time. We appreciate it.